Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Brian London. He is our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which is happening again this year at the very start of November. If anybody wants more information on that conference, please feel free to contact me directly, fleck@kereport.com. I go to that conference every year, and that's even in the midst of me cutting down on some of the conferences. So, Brian, I do appreciate that show. Brian also writes the Gold Newsletter. And Brian, when you and I were talking off mic, we were just discussing the general markets and the trends that we are seeing. And one of the first spots we started at is the general environment that we are in right now of low interest rates, even negative interest rates around Europe and in some other countries. But in the U.S., the 10-year sitting right now at about 2.12%. This is more or less a level that we've seen a couple times, and the expectations are for lower rates, nowhere near higher rates. Now, there's a number of reasons for that, but overall, this is just the new environment we're in, is it not? Low interest rates around the world.
Exactly. We've made a tremendous turnaround over just the past 6-7 months, you know, since the Fed was intent on continuing its rate hike campaign, and they were really intent on getting to 3% at least so they'd have room to cut. They weren't able to get really even close to that. And I've done some work in Gold Newsletter showing that the era of so-called normalized interest rates are far behind us. We're never going to see normal interest rates again. We can't from a fiscal standpoint, but because the cost to burden the debt would be too large. The debt has grown so large now that it's tremendously leveraged to any move in interest rates. And a very small rise in rates, even a half of a point, has a massive impact on the other end into the bottom line cost of financing, annual cost of financing the debt. So much so that it would swamp every other category of the budget. So you can't raise rates any longer. You can't have normal rates any longer. The Fed is really at the mercy, or the market is the master of the Fed now, and the market will not allow the Fed to just sit on its hands and do nothing. So that's why we're seeing a return to a lower and falling interest rate environment, the market expecting at least 2 rate cuts actually this year. And as we know, if the market doesn't get what it's expecting and it's disappointed in any way, it's going to throw a hissy fit to show the Fed what it needs to do.
Well, that's the thing. The Fed really has, by the markets, been backed into a corner here, and so different from, as you said, 6, 7, 8 months ago when the Fed was pushing through rate hikes and was talking about more rate hikes. Now that's been completely reversed, and now the market is at least expecting 2 rate cuts. But Brian, even when you look at the yield situation in the U.S., it is still generally higher than a lot of yields around the world. Do you foresee a scenario where around the world we could be seeing negative yields, even including in the U.S.?
Well, around the world, we already are seeing sovereign debt. The amount of sovereign debt that is negative yielding is actually increasing again. It's not up to the levels it was a couple of years ago, but it is rising once again. So that's a sign of the trend. Whether we get there in the U.S. or not, I don't know. But I think the important point that we're making here is that rates can't rise from these ultra low levels, which still remain near 5,000 year lows. So we're still at these ultra low interest rate levels. From a real standpoint, if you're looking at, say, 2% inflation from the official statistics, then we're looking at zero to even negative real rates, not only around the world, but in the U.S. And that's tremendously bullish for gold, for silver, for precious metals, for commodities in general, and actually even equities. So negative yields, negative real rates are going to be here for the foreseeable future. And that's a very powerful undercurrent for precious metals.
It is for precious metals, but for other commodities, can't you make the argument that the problem is we're seeing low yields because of lack of economic growth, worries about overall economies and even markets, so that can kind of stick some of the other commodities, especially those used to produce goods and build out stuff, that could keep them kind of stuck at lower levels.
That's true. That's the other side of the coin. You have to have economic growth for most of these other commodities. Now, there are some, you know, some fundamental individual stories, drivers there. If you look at the energy metals, they've gone up and down. They've settled back from where they were a year or two ago. But over the long term, there are some drivers for those commodities, for those metals that will be, I think, will swamp supplies over the longer term. And even copper has longer term fundamentals from a supply standpoint that are bullish. We'll just have to see how China and the US get out of these trade issues.
Well, and that's the thing. So much comes down to these trade issues, and so much also on a day-to-day basis comes down to simply what the president tweets. But I do have a feeling that the market is starting to get at least a little more away from that after that whole tariff threat over Mexico that turned out to be nothing. But Brian, in this environment where we have seen a couple yield curve inversions too, I know a lot of people are trying to say, well, you know, it's different this time and we haven't seen a full inversion across the board on yield curves. And you know what, maybe we won't see that recession that would typically come 1 to 2 years after those inversions. Where do you stand on this argument?
Well, I think we're going to see a recession in the next 12 to 18 months, or we're very likely to. I don't think anybody really knows, but I think we're very likely to see one in the next 12 to 18 months. And it's not just because of the yield inversion. Who knows whether this time is different on that? It's certainly different in a lot of respects because, again, we're at millennial lows on interest rates. So that remains to be seen, but there are a number of other economic indicators that I see every day that are pointing toward a potential recession, more so than you typically see. And, you know, it's kind of due. And you, if you look at that surge we had with the tax reform, that sugar high is kind of wearing off. So we may just see a slowing down of economic growth. But I do feel that within the next year or year and a half, we're going to see a recession at some point. And again, you know, the Fed's not in a good place for that. It doesn't have a lot of ammunition left to fire. Rate cuts are at the level, rates right now are at the level where they really can't cut enough to have a significant economic impact. They're going to have to go back to quantitative easing. And to get the same kind of effect they had before, they're going to have to ease. They're going to have to print money to a greater effect than greater degree than they ever did before.
Yeah, very true. But you know what? They've even started telling the market that they are going to be looking at all the tools available to them. Let's also talk about the precious metals, though. You write about it on a regular basis. It's been a very encouraging start for the precious metals in the month of June, which is typically a pretty slow time for the precious metals markets especially. But there's a lot of fear around the world, and there's a lot of uneasiness about the overall markets. What do you think about now gold testing out this upper bound that seems to get stuck year after year at?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with this rally. I was expecting a more of a seasonal market where we would bottom somewhere in late July. And looking at some of the technical indicators we followed, you know, the Bollinger Bands were compressing, and we've been writing in Gold Newsletter that was presaging a breakout at some point in the near future, one direction or the other. Conversely, our 14-week stochastic indicators that we follow were pointing toward a rebound in gold at some point. But we were looking at that happening sometime again in July or late July. So I was getting together a list of undervalued junior gold stocks to recommend in July, in our July issue, counting on that bottom in July. And the market just seems to have taken off before then and really surprised me. You know, it started with that Trump tweet about the Mexican tariffs. That really sparked this rally. But those are the kinds of things that are usually, you know, a brief blip and then they're over with in 24 hours. But gold kept rallying. We've had one or two setbacks along the way, but the strength that the metal is showing has been really, really impressive. And all of those stochastic indicators that I just mentioned have now pointed toward the metal turning around. The stochastics have turned around. They're showing an uptrend in gold that should last another couple of months at least, but they're also showing a downtrend in the dollar from its peaks. So everything's kind of setting up from a technical and fundamental aspect. The fundamentals have typically been supportive of higher gold prices over the longer term. The technicals are pointing toward this being a rally that could have some legs. I'll believe it when I see it. If we get to the end of the month and gold's over $1,300 and they haven't been able to push it back below 13 before options expiring, if we're significantly higher than those levels and they aren't able to push it back below it, I'll be much more encouraged. But right now it's impressive, and we'll see if we can get through the end of the month at these significantly higher levels.
Yeah, Brian, you're not alone in taking that attitude of I'll believe it when I see it, just because it has been 6 or 7 years of the metal being unable to break out. But even now on a short-term basis, some of the, let's say, gold stocks and even some of the gold charts have gotten to an overbought basis. So maybe a little pullback might come, but you know what? Overbought is definitely better than where the metal had been trending for a while. And that is when you can also start to see some breakouts. So watch closely, hope that we get that breakout, and then I think that really does open the floodgate for more investors to enter the sector. Brian, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Corey. Great to be with you again.